The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike Elam sitting in for Annie today. Happy New Year. Hope your Monday, the last Monday of 2024, is going well. Scott Fawn is joining us on the line today. Scott is owner of the Missouri Times. You see him on TV all the time of This Week in Missouri Politics. Scott, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. I'm on Broadway in Nashville getting ready for the bowl game this afternoon.
No way!
If you're not having a good time here, it's on you.
Man! Hey, you know what? Governor-elect Kehoe was on right before you, and he called you Missouri's media mogul.
Well, I tell you, going on after Governor Kehoe is a little bit of a letdown. I mean, it's like having your dessert first and the salad last. I mean, this is a bit of a tough call. I tell you about Mike Kehoe, though. The way he just describes things and the way he goes about and carries himself, it just makes you fully believe that, like, whatever that guy's doing, he's thought it through, it's going to work, it's going to be good. He just makes you kind of want to run through a wall for him. He just has that ability to explain things that, you know, and lay out a sincerity in his approach that I'm just a big believer in. I'm a little bit like you, and I'm always the pessimistic German about these things. But when you said that you were excited about his governorship, I try to not be about these things just because you get burned a lot. But I have to admit, I'm kind of excited about seeing this pragmatic, business-minded conservative go and actually accomplish things. I'm having to fight myself getting a little maybe too high of expectations.
I'm there. I really am. Because I really just, you know, when you talk about all of the folks who got behind him, and it's one of the kind of things where he had almost 30 statewide organizations who endorsed him, and a number of them have never endorsed for governor before. And it just shows you how many people share that excitement and that trust about who Mike Kehoe is and what they think he can do. I'm with you from a standpoint of I don't want to put too much pressure on him and too many expectations, because I don't want to feel let down, but I just feel like there's so many people who are on board, and it just feels like we're in a situation right now where a lot of people are feeling very positive about the future, not just in the country, but here in Missouri as well.
You know, I'm with you. I try to pride myself on it when folks are kind enough to have me on their show and tell them what I really think is happening, and not a sanitized version or not a... Well, I always tell you my biases, but I really am having, I've noticed I'm having to fight, not maybe setting too high a bar. I just think when you're around Mike Kehoe, which is why I would really encourage folks, if they have time, to come to the inauguration. If the weather's decent at all, it's worth the trip. You could be part of history. I really, the way he approaches things, I just think is the way you actually win and accomplish. And as a conservative that's had to watch us win elections, but not always win policy changes, I really am excited for his approach, and I'm trying to fight being too excited, because I mean, look, it's going to take. I think he'll be a calming presence. He'll have a honeymoon. That honeymoon will end. It will. It does for everyone.
Right.
And you already see it. I mean, there's a little. It's kind of a manufactured, attention seeking thing. Race for speaker. I don't know how actually serious the race is. I don't think it's close at all, if you want the truth. But there'll be some fissures. I mean, Representative Sparks has carried himself very well with a lot of different groups. I don't think he's even tried to talk to his colleagues, which is how you'd be elected speaker. But he's went and made a bunch of connections, got a lot of attention. And I think you'll see he'll be somebody that look, most of the media just wants Republicans to fight with each other. Number one, it's interesting, and it's their job to do interesting. And two, they don't want to see Republicans succeed in the media, so they want to see them fight. I think Justin Sparks will have an interesting role. I think the vote is going to be surprising to folks that don't know any members of the Missouri legislature and how lopsided it is. But I do think Sparks has a chance to be a voice if he picks something. If he were to pick a policy issue that he wanted to address, I think, and actually show his colleagues that he's sincere about it, and make it more than just Facebook posts, make it real things, he could be a help or he could be a huge hindrance. I mean, he does have a head of steam. He has built up a lot of attention, a lot of following on social media. He's in a unique spot, but those are all pitfalls. Governing is hard. It is very hard to change laws in the state of Missouri, and I'm glad that it is. Governing is hard, and so we're going to see what happens here. But I'm with you. I'm very excited. The Senate has some fresh blood in it. I think that's going to be good. I'll tell you, I think the most interesting legislator in the whole Missouri legislature is your own St. Charles County and Nick Shore. I think he's still part of the Freedom, whatever you want to call it, conservative caucus, group of troublemakers, pick your poison, whichever one you want. Nick Shore is the most competent legislator and the most talented speaker, the most talented media in the media of any of that group. Now, if he comes in and wants to legislate, then you're going to see a lot of folks there's going to be a lot more things move. If he comes in there and just wants to whine, well, there's going to be frustration. But I think he's the most interesting person to watch as to how he goes about the first couple, 3 weeks of session. It started last year with him on the floor complaining, and it ended, you know, with a grab bag of kind of wins and a decent session. But I think this session, you know, I think smart eyes will be on the St. Charles County and now the senior senator from St. Charles and how he goes about the next course. I mean, Nick Shore could be governor one day, and maybe he could be governor throwing a fit. Maybe he could be governor putting a bunch of conservative wins on the board. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to predict those things that far out. I just think whatever he does, the entire state Senate and his career are going to be kind of measured by how he goes about the first few months of this legislative session.
And that was really one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is where do you see this going this year? Because, you know, the last really 3 years, I would say, the Senate has really just been the boondoggle of a legislature. Everything goes there to die. And it seems like Republicans just yell at each other for not being conservative enough, and then they shoot themselves in a circular firing squad and just can't get things across the board. But now you've got a new president of the Senate. You've got some of those folks who are doing a lot of the shooting who aren't there anymore. You've got a governor, what we've talked about in Mike Kehoe. And one of the biggest things, I think, with Mike Kehoe, as opposed to the Justin Sparks example that you gave, Justin doesn't seem to understand that the speaker is a team captain pick, and it's picked by the members of the team, not by the folks who put the team there. So I think Kehoe understands how to build coalitions, how to work with people, and how to get stuff done. I'm curious to see, do you think, because I'm feeling optimistic, but then again, it's December 30th, right? I'm feeling optimistic that we're going to be able to get some stuff done. Do you think I'm okay in thinking that, or do you think I'm wrong?
I think every governor has a honeymoon period when he comes in. I think Mike Kehoe will have one as well. I think Mike Kehoe will know what to do with that honeymoon period. But let's just take the biggest issue for our state. I'm a hick from the Boot Hill, right? I'm a simple hillbilly from West Butler County. The fact of the matter, we don't like to admit this, but if you give out free cheese in the state, St. Louis pays for a lot of it. If you build a road in this state, St. Louisans pay for a lot of that. The best thing you could do to improve the economic climate of West Plains and Sedalia and Noel, Missouri, is to fix crime in the city of St. Louis. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've told the governor himself, don't get in that. You can't fix it. He believes he can fix it. He's got a plan. And I tell you, again, when you first say, oh, we're going to address crime in St. Louis, I'm like, whatever, that's never going to work.
It's right.
People can shoot each other there forever. It's never going to change. But when Mike Kehoe lays out his plan, you're like, you know what? This son of a gun, he might actually do this. And so I'm excited. Watch for that. I think you're going to have to see things move quickly early. I think people learned last year, Cindy O'Loughlin is a very talented state senator. And the first year, she was very successful for you. The second year, some of the old stuff crept back in. You've got she kind of helped pick the floor leader in Tony Luchtemeyer, who is a Farmington guy, by the way, Cardinal fan, but represents the Northland over in Kansas City area up to St. Joe. They're going to be a very close team. And I think the crime bill is going to be the first thing. I mean, look, I think Nick Shore should carry the crime bill. I think you should start every session with, hey, how do we work with you? And I think if it was explained to Nick that, hey, if you want to be out on the floor, we got to take this bill away from you and give it to Sandy Crawford or somebody else that can pass this. If you want to just start killing everybody's legislation, they're going to kill yours. I think you give him a serious thing like this and say, Nick, run with it. He's talented enough to do it. Look for those early things. I think the Senate's going to want to move quickly because this honeymoon will end. There will be conflict. Chairman will not hear bills. And there will be issues. But I firmly believe if Kehoe is willing to go to their offices, I mean, if Mike Kehoe comes to you and lays out his plan and asks for your help, I don't know many Republicans or Democrats that's not going to want to try to find a way to be on his side, because he's a very genuine person and he's a great guy. So I guess look for early wins this session. And look, I'm just going to tell you from my white trash opinion, how the cow ate the cabbage. It is a huge benefit to have Caleb Rowden and Bill Igel, who just hate each other, out of the Senate. That is, if you want to see Republican things done and productive things, those two personalities needed to go. It is part of the, I'm not a big fan of the term limit system we have now, but I'll tell you right now, in my opinion, it was a good thing for term limits for those two personalities and everybody with those leadership races 6 years ago to be gone. You can decide who was right and who was wrong. I don't think anybody that observes the Senate or works there or serves in it is going to be sad they're all gone just to start over. And that's going to give you a little room to maneuver. But I tell you, just from the cheap seats, the peanut gallery where I sit, look to see who carries the crime bill. And if it's Nick Schroeder, look and see how he handles himself with his fellow senators. And if Nick goes in here and says, I want to get this state control police department or whatever is ultimately in Kehoe's crime plan, if he comes out there and says, that's my priority, all these other fights, we'll deal with them in a minute. And by the way, they are going to do an abortion thing. They got elected to. The law of the land in the state of Missouri is very pro-abortion right now. The legislature was elected promising to be very pro-life. There's a conflict there. We'll see where it gives, if it gives.
So where do you think things are going to happen in the House? How do you think that's going to go? Because obviously
they'll pass a million bills. They'll pass bills, and no one will care until they get to the Senate. And then I'll tell you how you mark a speaker. The way to tell if a speaker's good, I mean, the House passes 50 bills a day. Nobody really pays much attention to it until the end. How does that speaker go get his four or five priorities and deal with the Senate leadership to get their four or five priorities? That's how you tell if a good speaker, a good negotiator, how's he played his cards. And those could be budget priorities, legislation, whatever it is, how he'll play his cards. The House will pass everything under the sun. How does that speaker leverage the Senate to get some of those priorities out of that incredible 1,000-bill haystack? How does he pick the six or seven he actually really prioritizes and wants to see happen, and how does he get them done? Patterson can get them done, but no speaker can control the Senate. A speaker's success or failure is going to be determined by how they hold those chips and do that deal-making at the very end.
We're talking to Scott Faughn this week in Missouri Politics and the Missouri Times, who is getting ready for the Mizzou game. And just a quick sidebar, since you brought that up, why did Mizzou get a Monday at 1:30 bowl game? That has got to be the suckiest time to have a bowl game that I could possibly think of.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think it's because we lost to South Carolina. If not for that, well, if we'd have won that game, we might be in Tampa or Jacksonville or in the college playoffs. But I think we lost the South Carolina game. That put us here. But I'm going to tell you, I would take 1:30 on a Monday in Nashville over, you know, Saturday night at 7 in Houston or Jacksonville or somewhere. I'm a Nashville fan. I like Nashville.
Dude,
I'm not complaining about it. I'm here for it. Plus, by 1:30, I haven't had, as has been said on these airways before by Mike Shannon, I have not had enough cold, frosty Anheuser-Busch products. I can actually watch the first part of this game. Then my drinking habit, the German in me, we can do those 12-ounce curls all day. So I'm kind of liking the setup, but you know, not anything in Nashville to me. I'm a happy boy.
You know, Nashville is a fantastic place to hang out. And I guess the upside,
yes,
for the people who attend the game is you've got a 1:30 game. You're done by 4:30, unless they're like some of these other, like the Hawaii Bowl that had five overtimes. And then you had another one that had six overtimes. Hopefully Mizzou wins this game. Run it away, but we'll see how that plays out. The good news is, after 5 o'clock, you can party on Broadway for the rest of the night. That's pretty good.
You read my mind.
Oh,
that's my plan.
I have a feeling that I'm assuming Casey is with you and you're hanging out today.
She is. It was so funny. She booked our hotel, and I guess she didn't. I mean, there's no way we would have known. It's the Iowa team hotel.
Oh, how funny.
So I'm getting her an espresso martini, trying not to spill it. And that silly Hawkeye, whatever his name is, came up and was taking pictures of me, doing the thumbs down. I'm like, dude, I got this espresso martini. I'm never going to hear the end of it if I spill a drop of this. You got to go, man. I have no idea. So we've heard the fight song. It's weird. They do keep coming up and saying good luck tomorrow, good luck today. And I'm like, man, if this was the Cub fan, I'd be saying, I hope you have terrible luck today and an awful day.
People
so
from Iowa.
Nice. It's just a different type of people.
People from Iowa are very nice. Good, wholesome, value folks.
Unless they're Cubs fans. Then they're godless, awful people.
Well, so that's a different story. For baseball season, things get bad.
The only person I've ever given a pass to on the Cub fan thing is two. Claudia Kehoe, I know. And then Dusty Schneiders and Phil, but they had kin folks that played in the minor leagues for the Cubs. The rest of them, I have no sympathy for Cubdom at all, ever.
So we're talking with Scott Fahm. What are you doing for New Year's?
Well, I'm staying down here an extra day, actually.
Oh.
So we're going to do New Year's on Broadway. And then I'm going to land at Lambert Airport, probably quite hungover, sometime around 9 o'clock on New Year's Day.
Oh, wow. That was poor planning. You're going to have to get up at the butt crack of dawn to come fly?
Too.
Wow.
I
don't know about brother.
Faced with these types of situations in the past, if I'm going to be up at midnight and I got to be up at 5, I mean, it may just be the time to power on through, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, why go to bed? That just means that tonight you're going to have to pace yourself to be able to get to midnight tomorrow night. Otherwise, you may be having that... Well, you're already in Eastern time zone, aren't you? Or is Nashville Central?
You know what's great about Nashville? I have no idea.
I think Nashville Central, aren't they? Yeah, Drew thinks they are.
I think it's the Central.
Well,
my phone hasn't switched over, so we must be in the Central.
Yeah, you're on that border. Well, Donald Trump's going to get rid of this for us anyway, so we're not going to have to move our clocks,
good.
And we're going to fix it all anyway. Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking some time. I always enjoy talking to you because you do have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in Jeff City better than anybody else I know. I like you and Emily Manley at Fox 2, who always seem to be just
great, bro.
Man, just digging in on stuff, and you guys always have, like you said, it's a no BS take, and some people may not like it, but it's true, and this is how it's going to go.
I give you my honest opinion. I give you my biases. You can take them for what you will. But I will say this, since we're right here on Broadway, M-I-Z.
Z-O-U?
Yes, sir.
Is anybody coming back with you, or are they chatting with you when you say M-I-Z, or did you go to a little quiet place where you could talk?
Well, I'm actually in an alley. And if I was here 12 hours from now, I'd probably already been robbed. But I'm in a quiet alley. But I found Ryan McKenna here. I guess it's some kind of work release program. He's down here. So we're going to go watch the game together.
Well, you guys have a fun-filled time. Hopefully we get a Mizzou victory out of this. And I will talk to you in the new year, my friend.
Yes, sir. Take care. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That is Scott Fahm from This Week in Missouri Politics that you see on TV every week. And he's also the publisher of the Missouri Times. I appreciate that. Next hour, we are going to talk a little St. Louis County stuff. There is a ton of stuff that is going on in St. Louis County. And Mark Carter is going to join us in studio after the top of the hour. So stick around with us. Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today, the last Monday of 2024. Happy New Year, everybody, from 97.1 FM Talk. For you.